in order for us to be set free. Okay, go over there, Wesley. And let's say I'm the Lord, and Wesley's out there in sin as a heathen, and I want to save him. Now I'm in heaven. Wesley's on earth, bathed in sin, lost as a ball in high weeds, no hope, sinking fast. So what does God do? He sent Jesus as our deliverer. And what he did, he cast to him a red rope. He's got to catch it when he throws it. It's a red rope of deliverance that he got to grab hold of. Now, Jesus is going to secure Wesley. The goal is to bring him home. Right? Let me get another victim, another person. Come on up. And let me. And you too, Wesley, stay up here. Grab the end of the rope still. Now grab the about a foot away from Wesley. Back up just a little bit. Okay, now. Two people as an example. Now, Jesus got both of them, saved them. Got them holding that rope now. What is this rope? This rope is the grace and mercy of God cast out to save them. See, they had no ability to save themselves. It was the mercy and grace of God cast into this sea of drowning humanity to save them. So they got to drop the rope. The rope is out there. But if you don't grab a hold of it, guess what? You a drowning man. I cast in a rope, but guess what you didn't do? I didn't grab a hold of it. So the question then becomes, what is necessary to grab a hold of the rope? What do you think you need to grab a hold of that rope? Faith. And faith comes when you turn. See, remember Derek Prince said that God had to give him the faith to believe this? His will had to be engaged to do what? Repent. Only when you turn. See, your will, that's where your will is interactive. God does not give you the will to turn. You must will to turn. But when you turn, he gives you the measure of faith to believe, and you can grab a hold of that rope. But if you are resigned to stay in your filth and you keep in that drowning sea, drop the rope again. And he can pull the rope home, but guess what? You didn't grab a hold of the rope. It's a red rope of deliverance. But guess what? As saints of God, guess who got the rope? We got the rope. Hearing myself scared of these homosexuals, I won't even cast the rope. I got a guy working next to me that's willing to be saved, but a homosexual works next to him, offended by me giving him the gospel, so I shut up. No. That ain't happening, Junior. I don't care what the homosexual is offended by. I'm called to cast that rope. That's my responsibility. And if they hear me, as a preacher, they say, how can a preacher be heard unless he's sent? They heard, they turned, and God gave them the faith to believe. He has given every man the measure of faith. It's the gift of God. You can't boast about it. But your will must repent and turn. Remember, the Bible says to repent and then believe the gospel. So guess what's happened? Okay, I got both of them. Both of them holding on. Okay, Ashley, come here for a minute. I'll use Ashley as an evil person. Go over there about halfway between Wesley and... No, okay, yeah, right there, that's good. Now, don't hold the rope. Don't you hold the rope. You're not saved. Okay, I got both of them. Now, look, I'm moving them toward Jesus Christ. Now, the goal is conformity to Christ, right? So he's reeling them in. Now I'm pulling them in. Now stop right there, Wesley. Drop the rope and grab Ashley. Guess what happened to him? He wasn't once saved, always saved, was he? Why? What happened?
He dropped the rope.
Now the salvation is, I'm still here with the salvation. Guess what he did? Your will was initiated to do what? He holding on, but guess what he holding on to? Ashley. and Ashley in the sea drowning with him. What can God do about that? Guess what else is wrong? Time continues on. Look what happened to the rope. Until it gets so far away, ain't nothing I can do for you, brother. He's conformed to Christ. He made it in. He's damned from a willful choice of disobedience. Fine young Ashley was better for me than Christ. Once saved, always saved. Calvinist believers, you a damnable liar. That Baptist mess is going to damn your soul to hell because you had to commit sin. And this rope had been turned to loose up. Oh, it's dead, right? The rope is a constant. That rope is just dangling out there in the world. It's everywhere. But who's grabbing a hold of it? Are they stopping for some sideshow? A side chick? And Christ is, because time is moving, that rope just keeps on moving. Keeps on moving. Keeps on moving. Now guess what? If you go and redo it, grab that, grab hold of that again. Wesley, grab hold of that again. And I start bringing them in again. Now Wesley dropped the rope again. Now if he can come to himself in time and that rope is reachable and he dump her, he can get back in again. But guess what? He would have lost time though. He's not going to get back in the same place because the time is still moving. You went back to the third grade when you should have been in the 12th. You lost part of your reward and your salvation because you didn't take advantage of the time God allotted for you. And guess what? Everybody that's got that rope behind him is doing what? Passing him by. He over here conformed to Christ, got the gifts of the Spirit, out there doing the works of God. He out there fooling around. And Jesus might not come back by his way again. There's no guarantees that he's going to come again to see you. Reprobation happens after you get chance after chance after chance. And you thumb your nose at it. Everybody want to play. Just keep on playing. Time is marching on. And this red rope of deliverance, it can leave you, man. And God will give you over to a reprobate mind. Okay, y'all can sit down. I just want to use y'all for that. We're not making Ashley really the devil, though. Ashley, you're not really the devil. Let's hope, Ashley, you're not really the And it happens the same for women, too. Some old bum come along. You flying high in God in church and on fire. And some old bum talking about you, my wife. And you drop the rope for this bum and then wondering why everything went south for me. You better stay focused on the Lord right along through in here. Because it's real. So you see now that red rope hanging out of Rahab's window identified her as a deliverer. Grace and mercy throws us a red rope of deliverance. But faith must hold on to the rope. Look at Luke 22. Luke chapter 22. Tell folks, this is not your grandma's little Thumbelina church. Now, we teach you whole lessons of the Bible, so you got something to meditate on. All that old tuning up and spitting and acting like a fool every Sunday ain't going to get you in. Luke 22. Look at verse 31. And the Lord said unto Simon, behold, Simon, Satan hath what? Satan has desired you. He's made a request for you. Jesus, in touch with God the Father, said, Satan has desired and requested you, Peter. Like he requested Job, started talking about Job, and God gave Job to him. Satan has desired you, Peter, that he may sift you as wheat. But I pray for you that your what? Faith. Your faith fail not. And when you are converted, converted, converted. We need conversions, transformations. When you've been changed, truly converted, Then you do what? Strengthen your brothers. And he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee both into prison and to death. And he said, I tell you, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before you shall thrice deny that you even know me. I'm ready to die. Man, before the cock crows three times, you will deny that you ever even laid eyes on me, man. You can deceive yourself in this. Self-deception is a rude awakening when you mentally ascend to it, only to find out in a time of trial and in austere conditions, you deny Christ. Under the pressure of this homosexual stroking your arm, talking about you going home in an ambulance, you deny Christ. No, man. No. I'll just be in an ambulance. A homosexual would have beat me up. But you still damned to hell, long run, fella. The gospel don't vary for nobody. Physical threats to my physical body don't mean nothing as far as your eternal damnation is concerned. I'll be beat up by you, but you'll be damned right on anyway. You said a mouthful of nothing. To threaten your physical countenance has nothing to do with the eternal destiny of their soul. So they think that by making you shut up, God goes away. God stands sure. His word stands sure. Nothing has changed because you don't like it. 1 John chapter 5. Take a look at verse 4. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. For whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. That's what you must keep. You must keep believing. But you can't believe if the world overcomes you. That's why you can't meditate on it. The devil gonna always flare up with family members, your children, your sons, your daughters, anything to get your mind off of Christ and the word of God. Faith is not something that's just out there floating around in outer space. Faith is placed in the word of God. The word of God is both rhema, spoken, and logos, the person. So it's Jesus' word that I must place faith in over and above what I see. If I don't, I'll turn loose of that rope. And I'm somewhere pining away, depressed, burdened down, anxiety stricken, because I took my mind off of the word of God in Jesus Christ, the author and the finisher of my faith. You can't afford to do that now. We're in a warfare and the devil is emptying his arsenal on us. That joker going for everything he's got to stop you. That's why you got to be what? Steadfast. Immovable. Always abounding in the Lord. I got to keep my mind stayed on him. No matter what he brings my way, no matter what weapons are launched against me, the devil is a liar. The word of God is your weapon, the sword of the spirit, which is the word of God. That's your offensive weapon, the shield of belief. It blocks his fiery darts. He's lying to you. He's giving you images of lies. He's giving you words of lies. The people look pitiful, pathetic, and downtrodden. The devil is a liar. That's how you got to walk this out, man. You can't afford to let down that shield of faith because you're trying to hold on to this red rope. I can't let go of this rope because Jesus is the only answer. I don't have a plan B. If he's God, he can do it. If he said it, he will do it. If he spoke it, he must bring it to pass. That's what you got to do. Told you he called me to do what I do 30 some odd years ago. I hadn't seen it yet. Not the full totality of it. But what do? I do as I'm told. He brings it to pass when he sees fit. I've always known what we do is going to be an end time type scenario. A final gleaning of the fields, a final harvest. We're preparing people for that time, and we're very close to it. Because the atmosphere is so pitiful and corrupted. This is a time of total decadence, depravity. In the midst of darkness, there's shown forth a great light. Now it's time for Jesus to come on the scene to do something for real. So what overcomes the world? What's the victory that overcomes the world? Your faith. You got to hold on. Hold on no matter what it looks like. You'll find if you hold on to Jesus, things won't bother you as much. They'll begin to slowly and methodically go away. They'll grow strangely dim because, hey, it doesn't matter. You get the revelation that, hey, time and space, it doesn't matter that much. I'm talking about a heavenly existence outside of time and space. This is the victory that overcomes time and space. The world spectrum, your belief in Jesus will overcome it. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews 10. Look at verse 38. Now the just shall live by what? By faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to what? I just showed you Wesley now. If he keeps holding on to that rope, he'll believe unto the saving of his soul. The devil's trying to get you to drop that rope. Let go of your faith. Let go of your trusting and believing in God. Nothing is happening. The situation is getting worse. You got to hold on, man. This ain't for the faint of heart. You can't see them venting on you. The young guy there in the seat with the homosexual grabbing his arm, talking about you going home in an ambulance. Hey, man. You dealing with a child of God. You better back off of me, son. You best take your hand off of me, what you better do, before it rots off the end of your arm. We don't walk around here, man. God runs this. Yes, he does. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Right. He established the land and sea and the firmaments. You don't have to back off of anything as a child of God. But that thing got to be drilled down into you to the degree it becomes normal to you. You don't feel anything about it. You just become this thing. You just walk in it. I don't have to work myself up into this. It is what it is, and you become it by nature. The just live by this. What is this? Faith. Look at Romans 1. Romans 1, verse 16. We got to drill this down into us, y'all, because we're getting ready to make a last stand down here. And you got to know that you're in this thing. Romans 1, 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, the good news of Christ. For it, the gospel, is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein, inside of the gospel, is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. It's an ever-increasing faith. You'll believe more tomorrow than you did today if you stay in it. If the righteousness of God is revealed from belief to belief, as it is written, the justified ones, the ones that have been made just as if they never sinned, shall live by what they believe, by faith. That's what you live by, not air, not water. I believe, and that's what I live by. You got to have your mind made into a fortress of belief. You got to have your mind so intensely disciplined that no matter what happens around you, I believe. It's got to be something in you, man, that God has built in you through time. Praising, worshiping God, playing the songs over yourself, praying, fasting in the Word of God. You've got to build a fortress in your mind of believing God that the devil cannot permeate, neither can he penetrate. He can't get in here because I believe this thing with every fiber of my being, and I'm not backing off of it. One inch for anybody. Why would I be impugned by what a sinner's doing? You're the devil's child. The works of your father you will do. Why should you let down off of where you're headed? Because they're not going. That's why he said, remember Lot's wife. As this thing gets more and more intense, keep going. Yes. That red rope is he's still pulling it. I'm not going to, well, let me take care of my daughter, my son, nobody. What you better do is grab that rope. I hope it hadn't passed you by yet. Because if he gives you over to a reprobate mind, there is no rope. Folks said, well, you couldn't get saved if you want to. That's not what the reprobate mind is. The reprobate mind is that you don't want to get saved. It's not that I should have done it and I'm reprobate. No, it's that you don't even want it. People call me and say, do you think I'm reprobate? No, because you wouldn't be calling me. You'd be at the antithesis of God. You would fight God at every avenue. You would despise God, despise his word, despise Jesus Christ, hate any mention of the gospel. You would fight it with every fiber of your being because you are reprobate. You have the mind of Antichrist. You're the devil's child. You have the mind of Satan, given over to a reprobate mind. No thought of salvation. No thought of anything righteous. You have a desire and an appetite for the unclean. That's why I say that oral sex stuff. You got an appetite for the unclean. You're filthy inside and you love it. Hey man, you can't see the downgrading steps in Romans chapter 1. Uncleanness is the first step down. Next step, vile affections, homosexuality. When you're in homosexuality, you're teetering right against reprobation. One more step, reprobate mind, you can't be saved because you don't want to be saved. You deteriorated your humanity in your mind through participation in unclean acts. And it drove you insane. And you got a guy sitting up here talking about, you knew if you called him, you are going to offend him. It's going to be volatile. What do you care for? Are you a heterosexual? What you defending a homosexual for? Because you won yourself. Because you're sodomizing your wife back at the house. You're the same thing as the man in the blonde wig. Like most of the folks sitting in church. I preach this message in most churches. They will be ready to run on me and gnash on me with their teeth and stone me outside the church with that stacked stone column they got in front of the church. They busted up and stoned me to death with it. It's the same spirit in the church pews. Why do you think the preacher don't mention it? You won't hear T.D.J. say this. I guarantee you won't hear him say it because he ain't got the guts to say it because he's trying to entertain you at the mega mess in a couple of months. And you, if you're stupid enough to go down there, you get exactly what you deserve because you're silly. This is a mess, a mega mess. And folks just keep sitting there looking crazy and watching the thing rot away. You're watching the flesh rot off the bones and sitting there like it's not even happening. Look at the young people. They look crazy walking around down here. A guy don't even have enough sense to pull his pants up and put a belt on. He should be institutionalized back in the day. He would have been put away back in the day. Now, institutionalized insanity is normal. I was talking to a nurse in a school. She said, you know, these kids take Adderall when they got ADHD and ADD because Adderall is speed. And their minds function in a way that you give them speed to slow them down. Depressants will actually speed them up. If you try to depress them by giving them something, it'll make them more hyperactive. But if you give them speed, it'll slow them down. They operate in reverse. She says, but these kids are out of control in school because the parents are taking the Adderall and selling it for speed on the street. I said, what? She said, what I do is I come to school every morning and I make pots of coffee. I use the caffeine in the coffee to depress them because caffeine is a stimulant. So therefore, I can use it to keep them. I use the caffeine like a drug. Because the parents are taking their prescribed Adderall and selling it on the street at speed. That's what we got somebody having to do in the school, in the general population. Now, I ain't talking about special needs. Special needs is just the general population now. Well, we would have thought it was special needs back in our day. It's just how everybody is now. The society is deteriorating just that fast. Coping. The teachers cope in class. They don't teach class. They take the 6 or 7 kids that want to learn, cull them off, and the other 25 to let them go to hell. You think you keep putting this on the street year after year and not get anarchy and insanity on the streets? Look at the music. Look at the culture. They feed these folk this stuff because that's the appetite. You're not going to eat what you don't have an appetite for. I read an article this past week. Young girls in high school. The guys from the 9th through the 12th grade are so bathed in pornography that the girls don't know what to do. They're under duress all day long from some guy trying to molest them, touch on them, and have sex with them. One little young girl, 15 years old, says, I can't even sit and watch a movie with my boyfriend because he wants me to perform oral sex on him all the time. And I got to do this just to have him just calm down enough just to be with me to go out to eat or something. So the girls are giving in to the guys just to be with somebody. They don't even want to do it. They feel filthy. But the guys so bathed in pornography, I got to do it just to keep somebody. Like a whipped, limp-wristed puppy looking at that porno all day full of, and they say that one of the main things now are costing these girls is how many boys want to have anal sex with them and sodomize them. It came from that porno. Now imagine a girl in the 9th grade been sodomized all through high school. Now she out here. Your mind will flip out from that. Your mind, you're gone. You're deranged in your mind. What has happened now? The church has gotten to the place where only the Lord can do something about it. Don't even try to put forth the effort for you to move. What you got to do is decrease. You got to go back to fasting, prayer, and staying down until you're endowed with power from on high. We going back to tarrying until. See, because there's nothing you can do about it. I don't care what you think of. That's why I don't talk no more. I be around my own kids that ain't safe. I don't say nothing to them. I'm through talking to a human. I have nothing to say to the human race. I'm going to tarry until I'm endowed with power from on high. Because if the Lord don't save them, the way their minds are warped now, they can't be saved. They reprobate. See, if he don't save them, he knows they got the reprobate mind. That's it. Accept that. I don't care if it's your mother, your father, your daughter, your son. If they can't be saved, it's because they're reprobate. And after a while, the energy for you to save them will leave you because God is through with them. You won't even try anymore because God wrote them off as reprobate. I wish it was nice. I wish it was pretty, but it's not. Galatians chapter 3. Verse 10. Galatians 3, verse 10. Look what it says. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse of the law. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continues not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. So if you're in the law of Seventh-day Adventist, if you're under that law, trying to observe Sabbath days or pay tithes or anything given under the law, you're under a curse because you got to do everything written in the book of the law. You can't pull out one law and do it. You got to do the whole book. And that's making yourself a prisoner that can't even do what you're trying to do. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. For the just shall live how? You're justified by believing. Just like Abraham was justified by believing. And God imputed righteousness to him because he believed God. not by doing works of the law, but by believing in what Jesus did 2,000 years ago. That's what justifies you. Not by works of my efforts and my flesh, but believing what he did was sufficient for me. He threw me a rope. He was on that cross, and that red blood was my rope of deliverance. Because what did it do? It infiltrated me at the DNA, chromosome, and genetic level. Sin is a nature embedded in us. And you got to have the blood of the Lamb to begin to reorder you at the chromosome level. It's your DNA. It's your genetic makeup. That's where it is. It's the XY chromosomes that's got you feeling like a man in a woman's body and vice versa. The devil got into the chromosomes and make you feel like a woman and you're a man. Only the blood can fix that. That's why human effort can't do it. But they got to acknowledge the fact that I'm not normal. See, the way you repent is, I acknowledge. I'm not Caitlyn Jenner standing there as Bruce trying to act like I'm all right. See, that's what makes you crazy. It's, you feel these things. You want to be a woman. It's not normal. Turn to Jesus so he can reorder you to make you normal again. But they're offended by the fact that you call them abnormal. Tell the woman, Rashid, it's not normal for you to want to put your mouth where human body waste is dispatched from. There's something wrong with you. Offended by the fact you told them they were abnormal. Won't repent. They'll justify their activity, claiming to be saved and Christians, and God told me it was all right. You see how warped your mind can become? You're doing something that is evidently filthy, and your filthy mind, corrupting away, tries to justify it. And when a man has the guts to step into that arena and say, look, this is unclean, you're defiling yourself, they begin to make jokes about, I came out of a church that said it was that way, and I left that church because they started to preach against it. Those fools, they don't know the marriage bed is not defiled. You sitting there, a nasty dog, talking about a marriage bed not being defiled. You know something about God? This is how God operates. This is how he thinks. God never wrote in that Bible one time telling me not to go outside and eat the feces of a Great Dane dog. You know why he didn't do it? Huh? He don't think nobody that stupid. He don't think about his mind that warped. They try to tell you God didn't say this in his word because he thought you were normal. He got to tell you not to lap up excrement from somebody's body. He not going to ever tell you that verbatim because he takes for granted that you got some kind of sense. What gave you the appetite in the world to go do this? What's wrong with you? Your mind is corrupting. You're becoming satanically influenced. You're demon possessed. And the appetites of the demons are coming into you and you're partaking in the demon's appetites. You're becoming an appendage on Satan's body. And you're doing what he does. The works of your father you will do. I can name a billion things that God didn't say not to do in the Bible. He takes for granted that you ain't that stupid. And here you are discussing something that is absolutely stupid with people trying to justify their own stupidity. Becoming twofold the child of hell because now they're trying to influence others to do it. Carol, damning her soul like a fool, an ox led to the slaughter and spitting in God's face. Unclean and filthy and hating every word I'm saying right now. See, to that person, I am the Antichrist. I'm the devil. That's a warped mind. The Bible says even the women. It's almost like a shocking statement in the Bible in Romans chapter 1. Even the women turn the natural use into that which is against nature. So when your husband wants you to perform oral anal sex on him, the marriage bed is undefiled, correct? Oh no, I don't take it that far. You see how stupid you are? You're a fool. Well, what if somebody does take it that far? Well, that's their business. It's a personal taste. Ain't nothing personal in God. I touch everything because you ain't got no personal business in God. Everything is God's business. Or you are not in the kingdom. A red rope of deliverance, I tried to illustrate as best I could how it happens. He throws you the rope as a drowning person. He begins to pull you into conformity to himself by transforming your mind so you think like him. But anywhere along that attempt to save you and pull you over to where he is, you can turn it loose of that rope. See, faith is not some generic thing. Faith is followed up with activity of holding on, enduring, going through the trials and tribulations of this thing. In spite of what happens to me, I keep holding on. I used to ask them old folk in the old churches, how you doing, bro? You yet holding on? They said, yes, ma'am, I'm still holding on. Well, keep on keeping on. They knew you had to hold on to be saved. He that endureth to the end shall be saved. Anybody telling you that once saved, always saved garbage? You tell them you better go somewhere and come again with that trash. This is a fight of faith. We're fighting a good fight of faith. You got to endure hardness as a good soldier in this thing. Faith is a fight. It's a battle. When the devil sees you believe God, he's going to contend with you with everything he's got because he knows faith will bring things to pass. It will happen. It will materialize. It will actualize. God will show up if you keep on believing. Hold fast to your faith, which has a just recompense of reward. He is going to come see you, but you got to be found holding on. He says, when the Son of Man returns to the earth, will he find faith on the earth? You got to abide faithful. He cannot deny himself. You got to keep holding on in this man. It's a red rope of deliverance. Why is Calvinism a lie? Last thing I'll say, John chapter 8. Calvinism is a blatant lie telling people once saved, always saved, and unconditional eternal security that was birthed in the bowels of hell. And I'll preach it till I leave here. That's basic Baptist doctrine. It's a basic Baptist lie. John 8:31. What does he say? Then said Jesus to the Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, if you continue in my word, then, if then statements are always conditional statements. If you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. If then, you've got to respond. God gives what he gives to the responder. When I turn in repentance, he gives me the measure of faith. If I stay locked up on the world and I will not believe the presentation of the gospel. See, the preaching of the gospel is not faith. But when I turn to it and believe it, then he'll give me the measure of faith. See, I repented. When I am convicted, I turn. Here's what we got right now. We got folks packing church houses around the world. We can drive down the street from here and you'll find a 5,000 member church sitting there packed to the rafters. Nobody saved. What did they come to? They were convinced to join the church. They were not convicted to be saved. You can pack a place out convincing people. And the more elaborate you make it, the more family life centers you build with swimming pools and basketball courts, you can convince people through marketing to join a church. But when you preach to convict people to turn to Jesus to be saved, but you don't recommend like that. Unless the Holy Ghost is actually activating what I call a spiritual revival. That's when God of his own sovereignty moves and sends the Holy Ghost to bring them in. Then you see them 3,000 saved at a time because the Holy Ghost got to them and convicted them. You got to be convicted to be saved, not convinced. You wonder why people are so laid back and casual in church? They've just been convinced. They don't have conviction. They don't have a drive. They don't have the hunger. There's a hunger birthed in you when you get saved. Man, you got to have this thing. You'll go anywhere to get the word. You stay in that word all day and all night long. There's a driving hunger in you when you're convicted and you really repented and turned. But when you just were convinced to join the Kiwanis Club, or convinced to join the Busy Bee Club or the Sewing Circle, that's laissez-faire, laid back, casual cal. Take it or leave it, que sera, sera. There's no life in you, there's no drive. There's a difference between a convicted person and a convinced person. Churches are full of convinced people that have never been born again. You gotta know that before you start calling everybody your brother in the Lord. John 7, 37, last scripture, John 7, 37. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. He that believe on him should receive. The Holy Ghost is for the saint of God that's been born again. But you know what? I'm totally convinced we got to go back to tarrying until we're endowed with power. This generation of the church don't have any power. That's the bottom line. Stop. Let's stop kidding ourselves about something happening. We pray every night at 9 o'clock. You can declare and decree and bind and loose and yell at the devil all you want. If you ain't got any power, the devil don't care. We got to tarry until we're endowed with power for this 21st century generation. Because without God breaking through this human vessel, this flesh, and he coming himself to deliver people, they'll never be set free. The rope is in us. If we can have that Holy Ghost throw that rope out into the masses, these drowning people, and their lives are aligning themselves with a place where they can be saved. Can't you see everybody's life is going south? They are deteriorating right in front of our very eyes. That's because God has dried up the river. When you got saved, God dried that river up around you. He's drying up the river right now. That tells me if somebody will begin to seek God fervently, tarrying until they're endowed with power, you'll walk in the newness of life and you'll have resurrection power. Those gifts will operate, but you got to isolate to get the gifts. Sanctification, man, is real. You got to isolate from everything to get the gifts up and powered up. The Holy Ghost is holy. He don't fellowship in any way, shape, form, or fashion with the unclean. We've got to go into a place of total isolation to receive what we need to do a job. That's why I'm saying up front, this ain't for everybody. This is not your grandmama's church. You don't see us trying to get people enthralled with this to come to it. Don't come to it. See, we don't have a green light up. We got a caution light up. You know, we don't have a red light up either saying don't come. We're saying, listen, caution. If you're not ready to finish this, Jesus said what? Count the cost to see if I got sufficient to finish this thing. If you're not in it to win it, if you're not going to go all the way with it, leave it alone. Because all it's going to do is it's going to be detrimental to you to try to do something you are not willing to do and not capable of doing and you hadn't sold yourself out to do. But for those of you who are sick of this place, sick of the sin, sick of the devil spewing out trash like these homosexuals are doing on that video, sick of watching the devil stomp around challenging you and almost with the audacity to just threaten you. The devil gonna threaten you. That'll do something to you, your inside. Like, you're threatening me, man? You're threatening me? You know what I'm saying? Wait a minute, let me get this straight. Is that a threat? It ought to be something that some part of you ought to rise up. Everybody got gonads. Even women got gonads. They're just ovaries. Your ovaries ought to rise up in you. And you all are just, oh, you threatening me? You threatening me? That's like, okay, Brian walking in the store with his wife. Old 75-year-old white guy come in. Move out of the way, nigger. That's your old nasty wife, your naphead son, nigger. That's what the devil doing to you. Huh? Ain't got no teeth, chewing tobacco. Then spitting your face. Get out around in there. Spit on. You a man of God. You, I guess I'm supposed to take this. Pray the Lord. Pray the Lord. How long you going to take that?
I ain't going to take it at all.
You see what I'm saying? But why we, okay, the devil doing this, everybody just sitting around quiet. You got something to say, nigger? Huh? You saying something back to me there?
I see.
The devil doing it. I mean, why are you going to hit this man? Why are you going to jump this man in the physical? The devil doing it to you in the spirit. You ain't doing nothing. You might as well pack your stuff and go on. You ain't got no guts. You're just a gutless wonder. The devil doing it to you. Omar's a single guy. He can go somewhere curled up on some old naked hole. Punked out. Testicles cut off. He ain't mad about that. What the devil did to him. Gutted him. Made him a spineless nothing. You don't seek vengeance for that man. You ought to get mad about what the devil made you into in the world. You ought to get, man, you know what? I'm getting ready to do something. I don't know. I'm going to do something. I'm going to do something about this. And you just go somewhere and you lay prostrate before God and tell God, you're gonna endow me with power. I'm gonna stay up in here to somebody. Something's gonna give up in here. Everybody wanna jump at flesh and be mad at folk doing stuff to. What about the devil? The devil done kicked you in your teeth your whole life, and you just stand there taking it. Look at them sitting on live stream. Look at you drinking that cup of coffee, it all burn your lip. You're a coward. Women and men, cowards. Woman, you're a coward. Stop talking in tongues and doing all that raising your hands. You're a coward, you. Shut your mouth, coward. But everybody's going to jump up over a physical entity, some human being, and Satan just trashing you. Walking up the front of you and down the back, kicking you all in the teeth, cursing you like a dog and laughing in your face. And everybody, well, like old Step and Fetch It, buck tooth Negro back in the 30s. Well, I guess he told her to go to the back of the bus. Let me get on back there, feet all crooked. Let me get on back there. You want to? Miss Daisy, hope! Miss Daisy, hope! Hope! I'm gone, Miss Daisy. Good. Hope! Miss Daisy, I think I gotta go make water. You wait till we get to Montgomery. No. I'm a man, Miss Daisy. The devil is Miss Daisy. And you hope. You cotton picking hope. And then want to blow up at somebody, want to talk loud and flex on somebody. In other words, an old gutless, spineless guy out there fornicating, running women, going to get mad at somebody. Shut up, man. You gutless, spineless puke you. You curled up under some woman all the time, can't even walk out as a man, can't even raise your head up. This is what we got. Everybody want to flex on folks, want to talk, but don't nobody want to confront the devil. He is the problem. That person in front of you is just a reflection of the devil. The devil is using their mouth to tell you what he think about you. That racist guy is spitting that tobacco in your face. That's the devil doing that, telling you what I think about you. If anything, I say, sir, I'll see you around. Go back home and just wear the devil out. I'm going about 40-day fast. I'm devil, okay, you see what you did to me now. I'm going to take my 40 days, calling in to work for the first 10 days. I ain't even going to work. I'm going to lock it up, and you're going to pay for what you did to me. We just taking anything that fool dishing out and don't nobody fight back. Won't even throw a blow. Just going to church, going to Bible studies, just looking crazy, and the devil just wearing everybody out. The Bible says then he'll have power to wear out the saints. I can see how he's going to do it. But as for right now, we've been commissioned to fight, man.
Yes.
And see, the key to power is abdicating the will to God. Jesus' power came when he said, listen, nevertheless, not my will, let thy will be done. I don't have nothing to do with it. When you finally release that thing and let God have it, you'll stop trying and stop thinking and stop trying to figure out and stop trying to fight all these battles. See, all it is you're trying to save your life. What are we going to do about the beat? Let burn the house down. Let them take the house. Don't make no difference. This is a temporal realm anyway. See, you'll stop thinking about a lot of things you don't care about. If you're dead, it's not my responsibility. Let it go under. I don't care. That's how you got to do this. They got them $135 a week little motels I stay in at to something else clear. And don't feel no kind of way about it. See, your problem is you feel some kind of way about it. You got an attitude about it. I don't feel nothing about nothing. Let the whole hell hole burn up. See, my whole thing, I found freedom in this when I want it to go away. Man, that's a liberating thing, man. I want to see the world end. I crave it. I desire it. I want to see it ignite in flames. I want to see it dissolve. The Bible says seeing all these things will be dissolved, I want to watch it dissolve and just be sitting there. Man, the whole thing is just dissolving away. Beautiful, finally. Somebody was telling me, you know, the Russians attacked New York with a nuclear. I don't care. I could care less. They're trying to do anything not to have a nuclear war. I don't care about nuclear war. It's not my world, it's yours. And all I can say is, God, thy will be done. When you settle that, you're not trying to save your life. You're not trying to have a kingdom down here. Thy will be done. The next verse is, thy kingdom come. You're looking to live again, not live here. So what are you putting all this energy into trying to sustain life here for? God is looking for us to abdicate and release it. You find out, man, most of your worries come from you trying to hold on and try to fix this. Let the mess go, man. Let it burn up. Look, nobody care about this junk. That's crazy. I'm not the one that's crazy. If you think this is real, you can hold on to it. You're the one that's crazy. We're going to wrap it up today listening to this one song. And I love this little song. I played this song on the internet. The lady said, this girl sounds like she's just too seductive. I said, man, these people crazy. This girl here right on time. I know exactly where she's coming from. I suggest you listen to the lyrics of the song. Listen to what she's saying, what she's going through in the song. And she finally got to, God, thy will be done. After all the stuff that I'm suffering through and just debating in my mind and going back and forth with, hey, I just settled this. Hey, you hear everything I'm saying. And I release myself and God, thy will be done. We'll listen to this and we'll go home. Just a short little 3-minute song.
Here.
I know you see me. I know you hear me, Lord. She said, hey, I know you're good, but this don't feel good right now. That's the way it goes. Stop looking for the benefit. Man, you got to enter into the sufferings of Christ. The Bible says we fill up the sufferings of Christ. He was a man, a suffering man, walking the earth. Because he was under what? The attack of the devil all the time. He just suffered and did the will of God. And whatever came along, he always abdicated and said, Lord, listen, you know what? Thy will be done. Whatever's in front of me, whatever I encounter, whatever I go through. John the Baptist is dead. Thy will be done. And the Bible says he went and did miracles, cast out devils, and healed the sick. Hey, if he didn't get it, he could have raised John the Baptist from the dead. He raised the other four from the dead. He checked in with heaven? No. Thy will be done. And you keep moving. Anybody can die in this. Anything can happen in this. Those four young people were killed running up under a truck the other day. Four of them dead immediately in that car. This is a world of malice, hatred, murder, avarice, detestable filth. It's a satanic world. He's the God of this world. What God allows, he allows. What he disallows, he disallows. My job is to hear and obey as I am told to do. You got to become a militant, military-minded person. I love it. What's her name to sing that song?
Hillary Scott.
I've been pounding that all week in my car, just over and over again. And she said, I'm on my knees. I'm entreating God. And all I came to was, thy will be done. Looking for answers, trying to ask God, why am I going through this? She says, my broken heart is part of your plan. Thy will be done. That's victory, man. It ain't God pulling you out of the fire. The victory is found with God standing with you in the fire. If you would, stand to your feet, please. That's the real victory. Stop trying to avoid the fire, because the fire is making you. The devil is the smithy that blows the coals, but he's chosen us in a furnace of affliction. We got to contend for the faith, earnestly contend for the faith. These soft soap, wimpy messages telling you every day is Friday, have your best life now, they're doing severe damage to the psyche of people. Excuse me. They're looking to go down to a mega fest to escape from the war. No, man. Go somewhere and turn that plate over. Stop trying to jump up and trying to preach on the internet. No, you got no power. You got nothing to tell the folks. There's no inspiration, no anointing. And you trying to tell folks you had stuff you hadn't lived. You can't preach what you haven't lived. Get a resume with God. Have a track record with God. Go through with God so that you got real power at the end of the day. It's time to go back to the old pathways. Whatever got you in, go back to it to have that thing stirred up in you again. So none of these things move you, because we're going into an arena that's going to be heavy. The devil is emptying his silos. Nuclear weapons are headed our way. You got to be able to stand in the midst of this for you. You can't be with anybody in this. This has got to be your stand this time. It's got to be personal. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, God, we thank you, God, that you're always an ever-present help in the time of need. No matter what weapon the devil forges against us, the Bible says, every weapon formed against us will not prosper. Every tongue that rises against us in judgment is condemned. This is just our inheritance, and our righteousness comes from Almighty God. God, these are not just words spoken. These are just not praying lips and prayers prayed for nothing. Your will must be accomplished down here at all costs. God, as we accost the gates of hell, as we ask you, God, to set these people free, the minds of people are in depravity. They've done things that have made them depraved. God, in fact, they've done things that made themselves believe that they're irretrievable, they're unredeemable. Their own filthy sins witness against them. This is why they come around talking about, am I reprobate? Because they know what they've done. God, it's going to take you, Almighty God, coming down here through your church, reaching out with a red rope of deliverance, casting out devils, healing the sick, freely receiving and freely giving, power on display. God, we haven't seen a glorified church in our generation. We need to see glorified saints. Saints that have the fire in them again. You make your ministers flames of fire. God, we got to see a demonstration of this thing. The situation is dire. The need is great. God, raise up some ambassadors by way of live stream. Not folks just sitting there looking at that computer screen, for folks to say, you know what? Today is my turning point. Yes. I'm not sitting and watching anymore. Lord. I'm rising up to the occasion, and I'm going to engage the enemy. Yes. It's not effective until it's personal. Yes. If it's not personal, you don't have it. If you don't see it as him doing this to you, and I want vengeance. God, you said vengeance is mine and I will repay. But it's evident through your Bible that the avenue of vengeance, that the weapons of vengeance is us, because you said that we are your battle axe. You execute vengeance, but you execute vengeance through us. Vengeance is God's. He will repay, but he'll repay through you. And you'll feel the vengeance that you want to feel because the devil did this stuff to you. He had you out there living like a dog. He had you out there a drug addict or a drunk. He had you out there fornicating and committing adultery. Man, you ought to seek vengeance for this. He was reprobating your mind. He was driving you insane. Look at the depression that used to walk in. The hopelessness, the fear. The low self-esteem. Dysfunctional homes, hell on earth, man, vengeance. Somebody, I need to want to get this devil, man, and bring him down. This is why the homosexual is emboldened, telling you're going home in an ambulance. Man, you got it all wrong. You got the wrong script, bruh. It ain't going down like that, bruh. I wish I would cow down to that trash. Joker standing in a blonde wig talking about you going home in an ambulance. If God is that weak, I'd turn in my guard card. If he let a homosexual stand up and blow smoke in the church's face like that, I'd walk away from this trash. Man, somebody got to make a stand. Having done all to stand, stand therefore. Have your loins girt about with truth. A breastplate of righteousness on. A shield of faith in your hand. A sword of the spirit. A helmet of salvation. Feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Make a stand, armor clad. Man, it's time to move on. It's time to get a new breed. It's time to get a different kind of person in this thing. Cowards. Cowards. Got to be left behind. God, the fearful and the unbelieving got to go back. We got to have the army of God come forth. God, raise up a new generation. Raise up some dedicated folk that mean business. Get rid of the fear in our midst. If you would, raise your hands where you are and pray this prayer. Lord,
I renounce
all fear.
Hold
a minute. By way of live stream, pray the same prayer now. I renounce all fear. Lord, wherever I've been weak, double-minded, tentative,
second-guessing myself,
feeling unworthy, lowly, no self-esteem, inadequate, God, replace all of that with the power of the Holy Ghost.
I am nothing
in myself,
but in Christ,
I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I don't come in my own name.
I come in the name
of the Lord of hosts.
Goliath,
you will
bow the knee to
him.
In Jesus'
name.
Jesus.
Right now, God.
Right now,
we speak to the mountains
in our lives,
and we command these mountains
to move
in Jesus' name.
Jesus.
behalf of these lost souls, God, I am the answer.
Fill me
with the Holy Ghost.
Send me
into the battle. It's personal now.
I've got to be in it
to win it.
In Jesus' name.
Right now, God, in Jesus' name, I come against all spirits of fear, incapacitating fear that have made people afraid of the devil and afraid of this warfare, bad self-identity, anything that gives low self-esteem, unworthiness, thinking I'm not smart enough, I'm not astute enough, I'm not learned enough, I don't know enough. Hey, look, it's not about us. It's about you, Jesus Christ. So every demon of fear that seeks to incapacitate the body of Christ, right now in Jesus' name, I cast you from this place. I cast you from the people on the internet. I cast you from people listening to this thing by MP3. I cast you from every soul bound by fear in Jesus' name. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. In the name of Jesus. Fear has torment in the name of Jesus. I cast fear from her life in Jesus' name. Fear that I'm going to be deceived. Fear I'm going to be inside a religious cult.